This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
I'm enjoying Football Sunday so far this season because we're getting to see Greg Cody at his most flummoxed. I just love, you get razzled. You're like, when am I doing this? I'm writing a column. Like, it's just you at your most frantic, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's tough because this is the first football season where I've been traveling, I've been going to games, I've been doing the podcast. You know, I got all this extracurricular stuff. Levitard wants me to be on his post-NFL show. And, you know, it's a lot to handle. And what a weekend. You know, you guys are too young to remember this, but there used to be a very famous movie called The Lost Weekend, a 1945 yes, film starring the great character actor Ray Milland. And that reminded me of this weekend. This was the lost weekend for Miami football fans because the University of Miami Hurricanes just got their ass kicked at home by underdog Michigan State, 38-17. And Canes fans predictably are like chasing Manny Diaz with torches and pitchforks, wanting everybody fired. Everybody fired now. And we thought that was bad. And then one day later, in the same cursed stadium, the Dolphins lose to the dreaded Buffalo Bills 35-0 in their home opener. Xavien Howard in a bucket hat. He leads the league in bucket hats. He was asked after the game, what was the atmosphere like in the locker room? And he said, a funeral. And I thought that pretty much characterized because the Dolphins have now lost like 180 games in a row to Buffalo. They can't beat the one team they need to beat. They can't even come close. It's like, what a lost weekend, Ray Milland. I'm sorry, but it's just...
You know what? This football, these football teams don't even deserve our attention. We should focus on a team that gives us something around here, the Miami Heat.
There you go. And speaking of the Miami Heat, good segue by you, almost like you led me into it.
Imagine
our special guest today is Jason Jax Jackson. And anybody who lives down here or follows the Heat knows him. Some of you may recall that he used to work for ESPN back in the day, but he's the new radio play-by-play voice of the Miami Heat. And as important as that, he also runs a foundation called the Jax Fam Foundation, and they do an annual celebrity roast. And this year, the guest is, the roastee is a guy named Dan Levitard. And we asked Jax about all the details about that, including who's going to be roasting him, and all that
stuff. And he's my karaoke buddy.
He is your karaoke buddy. He is, yeah, which I love. I haven't been invited to one of those karaokes, but I'm still waiting. Checks in the mail. And we also, speaking of Hard Knocks, this is the first episode of the Hard Knocks following Greg's Lobos. So you go inside, behind the scenes, behind the curtain with Greg's Lobos after their first game of the season. That's going to be exciting. Pardon me.
Greg, I want to commend you for being a tastemaker here. The Greg's Lobos are a tastemaking franchise because did you see the news this week? Not only are they taking their first venture following a fantasy team this year with Greg's Lobos, Hard Knocks will now also be taking their first venture of doing Hard Knocks during the season.
Yeah, I did see that. And I have to say I felt pride and proud because, you know, the Lobos were the first.
It actually makes me want to just like get our first episode with Hard Knocks out right now for the people because we don't want them to see the Colts episodes and be like, oh, Greg's Lobos is just copying that. So let's actually, before we get to J-Jax, and as my dad coughs,
sorry,
let's give people episode one of Hard Knocks with Greg's Lobos.
I'm standing here in front of my Lobos. We just finished with week one. You know what? There's only one kind of week one in Loboville, and that's week one a game. We didn't do it. We played like horseshit. We coached like horseshit. I want to single out my man Keenan Allen back there. Keenan Allen was the MVL of week one. The most valuable Lobo. Keenan, admit I'm right. You put a Lobo mint under your pillow, and you dreamed big.
You're right, Coach, I did.
Damn right you did, and it showed on the field. And you know what? I want to call out a couple other guys. Zeke, Aaron, you guys were supposed to total about 28 points based on our projections. You know how many we got from you two? 8. With 8, you get egg roll. With 8, you don't get a win in the PFPI Fantasy League. Okay, we're moving on now from week 1 to week 2. You know what week 2 stands for? We can do. We can do. We need to win. We need to treat every game like a Lobo mint. It's under the pillow. We're dreaming big. We're winning. Okay, Lobos, I haven't given up on you yet, but give me a reason to dream again, because we can't have another horseshit performance like we did in our opener. It was an embarrassment.
Lamar, hey, thanks for popping in. Listen, you got to do some heavy lifting here. This past week, you got nothing from your backs. I told the team right now that Zeke and Aaron need to give us more, need to give you more. But when they don't, you got to step up. I got a whole pocket full of Lobo mints here. I'm going to leave you with a few because we got to start dreaming big here. L-Jack, I trust you. To the end of the world, I trust you. You're my quarterback. You're my QB1. You will be all season. Okay? And I need more from you. I need more from you. We got to do some heavy lifting here, and the lifting starts with you, my quarterback. All right? Let's break. Let's make it a great week, too. Coach, I got to tell you, we're in the cafeteria right now of Lobo's Land. These are the worst blueberries I've ever had in my life. We got to get on the commissary. I don't know what they're doing around here. They're producing blueberries like we produce wins at this point. I got to tell you, though, the fourth quarter of the game, week 1, about 3 minutes in, I had a violent case of the runs. I had diarrhea like you wouldn't believe. I didn't think I was going to get through it.
Running more than Zeke.
I'm telling you. You got that right. Zeke and Aaron together weren't running like I was running in the fourth quarter, I'll tell you that. It was just sad. Blueberries are growing over here. That's not bad. They're hard, but tasty. Coach, I haven't given up. I trust my roster. I really do. We got to coach them up, though. We got to coach them better because you can't take these NFL players and expect them to be hoss dogs. We got to coach them. We'll get there. Trust the Lobo way. Trust the Lobo mint.
Honestly, Coach, worked here 5 years with you, never had a Lobo mint.
You're fired.
We need to play like Lobos and coach like Lobos and win like Lobos. And I want to give you the most famous 3 words in all of football because I believe it still. You haven't lost me. We are the Lobos!
All right, I'm excited. I'm excited for next week, for the next episode of Hard Knocks, Greg's Lobos. This is, it's primed to
me. How's week 2 going so far? I know, like, it's still incomplete. We're in Sunday night here. I know with podcasting, this is a weird timetable, but that documented week 1, you're currently in the middle of week 2, so are things going a little better?
They're going a little bit better, yeah. We're very competitive this week. We happen to be playing Chris Cody's wife. And the last time I looked, it was neck and neck. The projection was like 119 to 119. So you can bet asleep with some Lobos mints under the pillow tonight. I promise you that.
You love that mint joke. It's a go-to for yours for sure.
Yeah, that's not a joke. I mean, come on. I didn't ingest enough last week and now I'm sleeping with them. So we appreciate that. Why do I keep clearing my throat? Cut that out in editing. I want to mention one thing real quick. I'm going to admit I was never a huge Norm McDonald fan. So I'm not going to rhapsodize like everybody else is because he passed away, although I did respect him. But I want to say one thing about Norm McDonald. I thought one of the greatest characters ever on SNL was Turd Ferguson on Celebrity Jeopardy. You know, his Burt Reynolds. I thought that was just I would put that in a time capsule. I would watch him as Turd Ferguson on Celebrity Jeopardy ad infinitum, like on a loop, like 30 times in a row. I just thought it was great. What do you guys think of Norm McDonald?
Norm MacDonald was there are two weekend update people that have always stood out to me, and it was Kevin Nealon followed up by Norm MacDonald. That was perfect for my era. They set the standard. Norm had this wonderful ability to show his range from being able to do your short one-liners to a full-on five-minute joke where nobody has any idea where it's going, but then he pays off in the end. He's so good, and he really just shaped so much of my sense of humor growing up. I think the nicest thought I could come up with during this whole week was, I'm not so much sad as I am thankful for the laughs he gave me and the joy that he brought to me laughing at his jokes for the whole time that I knew of his work.
Well said. Let's transition now and have some fun with Jason Jackson.
Greetings, good sir. How are you?
Well, thank you. I love that logo we saw for a second with the big microphone. That was great.
Little Jack's on.
Yeah, man.
That's what that is.
Hey, appreciate you doing this, man.
No problem. No problem. Your son likes to come and party on my roof, so, you know, it's enough to...
Looks like that's where you're at.
No, I'm actually a little further south, but still with the same vibe for about 12 more days.
Yeah, and then the work begins, right?
Yes, sir.
Jason, we wanted to speak to you about, Christopher crashing your karaoke parties and a little bit about the Heat and the Levitard Roast coming up. Yep. But first, you're only the third radio play-by-play guy in 35 years of franchise history. So that puts you in rare company, my friend.
Well, the simulcast guys, we're going to give them a little props. You know, back early on, Sam Smith and Eric Reed were actually on the radio, but via television, because everybody was saving money in the 80s. guys, this is a dream come true for me. I grew up loving just sports overall, but I was a baseball fan and a baseball player up until Danny Schmidt at Bowling Green told me to go back to my residence hall. I think he's still the head coach, by the way, at BG. And all of my love of what we do covering sports and the essence of what sports is that then manifested into my wife being an athlete, into both my boys being college athletes. I'm realizing right now I'm the only person in my immediate family that did not have a college scholarship for sports. It's very sad.
Wow. Go slacker.
Yeah, exactly. I just curveballs, bro. Curveballs. That's what it was. But all of that love came from listening to Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall on the radio. The Reds are on the radio. I sing it all the time. And it's an issue of thinking about 1985 at Evendale, this small city outside of Cincinnati, Evendale's recreation center, the pool, listening to Marty and Joe afternoon baseball games, and it just spinning all the way to me now doing this for Heat Nation.
I want to ask you how you get the news like that, like, hey, we'd love you to be the new play-by-play radio voice. But first, I want to tell you how I imagine it, because over the years, I've had the honor of being summoned and invited into Pat Riley's majesty of an office a couple of times. And it's pretty awe-inspiring. And I am picturing you being invited into Riley's office.
Yeah.
There's, a little soft strains of Godfather type music in the background. And
right when he enters the room, the music starts.
That's right. Yes. And
Riley's looking out a window, like not looking at him, just looking off into the distance.
That's right. And he's muttering under his breath, "Mr. Jackson, this has been a job assigned to very few in the family over the years, and we would give you the honor of joining the family in this regard." And is that about how it happened, or?
It's exactly right, except for Pat was not involved. It was not in his office.
It was an email.
No conversation whatsoever. Till later. We actually did have a cool moment. First of all, I got a peek at his quote before we put out the statement, and I wept. And then I saw him at the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremonies for Bosch and the rest of the class of 2021. And before I could even say thank you, he was already, he's already there with the congratulations again. But no, it was a really cool thing. I'm literally telling you the story. I've not told anybody this story. The news of Mike's retirement got to me secondhand. Mike you know, went in and let the powers that be that needed to know. And then later that day, as things do in an organization, you know, I won't put anybody out who told me, but let's just say we're all on the air together. And so I finally get the word, because I usually get the info first. I mean, it's kind of my job. I am the reporter. But I got that info. And then my speculation was that because of the late time frame, that we would just simulcast. And a lot of teams are doing that. Matter of fact, in the league, I think there's probably a half dozen that are probably that are going that route, just saving dough. And it's, I don't know how I feel about it. It's just, you know, there's such different mediums. I don't know how for a long term you could get away with it. But anyway, that was my assumption. And then 12 hours later, Heat Vice President and Executive Director of Broadcasting, Ted Ballard, gave me a buzz. And I said, absolutely. I think before he even finished telling me what he wanted to tell me.
Now, we're not losing you on TV, though, right?
Not at all.
Like, because I have to admit, when I first saw the headline, Jason Jackson, I was like, oh my God, that's awesome for him. But I immediately got selfish and was like, no. I watch TV a little bit more than I listen on the radio, and I don't like this. But like, right. How is that going to be work? Because I've got you doing mid-quarter updates and then running up the stairs and how is the mechanics of this going to work?
Yeah. Christopher, you've nailed the one thing I have to give up. So in-game reporting, the walk-off television interview. We put together 17 years of good stuff in that space.
So pre and post TV, we still got you.
Pre and post and halftime on television, because I am Ron's security blanket, apparently.
Yes.
So he was not ready for any change for the rewind.
Stop it! Roll it!
And I'm stop. There will constantly be stop it. So what I've suggested to everyone is that we call the game from the television booth, from the set that we have there on the suite level. At this point, as we record, I'm not sure that's been fully embraced.
Right.
I'm just thinking ahead. Ruth Riley Hunter has won a national championship in college, two WNBA championships, and a gold medal. As I told you before, I got cut from college baseball before. So what we're trying to illustrate is the difference between a world-class athlete, even in her early 40s, moving briskly around the arena versus me. Work. Christopher, we don't need to huff and puff.
I can relate.
Man, and no toe touch is necessary.
And by the way, when I think of, I know her as Ruth Riley. When I think of Ruth Riley, I think of the original WNBA Miami Soul expansion team.
Yes, sir.
So that's
she's
got that cred.
She was awesome, by the way. And I don't know what kind of compliment this is, but it's a compliment. Rothstein said the best screener, WNBA or NBA.
Wow.
Ever. Ruth Riley Hunter.
Love a good screen.
When you mentioned a minute ago that when you saw the statement Riley had written about you before it was put out, and you said that you wept. Are you serious? Did it hit you that emotionally?
It did. I'll tell you why, Greg. I grew up in Ohio, as I just noted. At the time, the Cavaliers had not, when I lived in Cleveland, I moved from Cleveland to Cincinnati in 85. And at that time, I'd made a decision as a child how my allegiances were going to go. I was never really a Cavs fan. My dad was a huge Celtics fan. So my brother and I became Lakers fans just to piss him off and really fell in love with it. I mean, obviously the 80s with Lakers and Celtics were off the charts. I believe 8 of the 10 finals, right? Something like that, were between those two teams. So it goes back that far for me from I'm not even going to hesitate, a love affair with Pat Riley. And Chris Rock has that great joke about Bill Clinton, you know, people joking the first black president instead of Barack. But it was Pat Riley. That's always Rock's joke. But it was the Showtime Lakers for my brother and I. My brother Jeff is 2 years younger. And basketball was the sport we were best at. He loved basketball. I loved baseball. But we just, that team was at the top of the tip of everything for us. And so since 19, when did you get the job? 80 or 81? As the head coach when Magic performed the skadoodle.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so since then, it's been ridiculous. So when he got the job with the Heat in 95, that was my last assignment with Channel 7 before I went to ESPN. And then when I got the job in 02, it was like a life. I mean, I'm sorry, in 04, That was like life full circle. And even when I walk around the arena and just see him now, like almost, it's almost still a genuflex. Like I call him Coach still. I mean, he's the same age as my parents. So like even calling him Pat seems disrespectful.
Yeah.
But we've been together for 20 years. Like, so
I tell you, I can totally relate to what you're saying. There is just I sort of felt the same way in Don Shula's company. There's just an aura about the man, an aura of accomplishment, just of magnetism. I mean, I've been at a couple of social occasions with Pat Riley, and when he walks into a room, there's just a commanding presence, and everybody turns and looks, and he still has that power to this day. Jason, when I think of a radio play-by-play guy, I think of an intimacy with the audience that you don't necessarily get in other mediums. What is it about radio play-by-play that really appeals to you to the degree you would call it a lifetime dream?
Yeah, I think for me, it's an issue of moving from this massive, what I feel like I'm talking to all 300,000 people that are watching on television. And with radio, I feel like I'm talking to the people that are like right with me, like just Zaz, Tommy, Ruth, or Ron. And then the person that's on the other end. I don't know why. It's not true. But it's like you said, it's a different approach. And I haven't had this much room to talk ever, right? So I spent the first 10 years of my career as a reporter and an anchor. And then I came into this job as a reporter and a host. And now I'm going to have all this room. First of all, I'm going to be really hungry at the end of a game, right? That's going to be number one. And then number two, the next layer of it's going to be I will be fatigued. There will be a legit fatigue at the end of shows.
I'll bet.
But what I want to do, well, first of all, I've been charged with reinventing the experience. And Michael McCullough, who I'm sure you guys know, the executive vice president for marketing, is our ultimate boss in this space. And he and Ted and I mean, literally had like, I don't know, it was almost like they built a wigwam and we went inside with the hot stones and threw cold water on it and smoke, and we're just ripping our shirts off like we're gonna change the world. And all I've been doing is meeting with everybody in the organization going, okay, I can't blow this, right? Like, we got to do this. And I mean, like, seriously, like, we were like, yo, we've been doing this the same way since before the league even started. And so you may not get every single dribble out of it, but I'll give you this: you're gonna know time and score and who scored all of the time.
Okay, so that's old school. Yeah.
I called Marty Brenneman, who's a Hall of Famer over in baseball, my favorite, right? My favorite. Well, I've said his name like four times, right? Man. And the cool thing about Marty is now that he's retired, he talks to you like a grown man. Like, it ain't no filter, right? This is not the Reds radio network.
Right.
Man, he jumped in my ear and was like, let me tell you something, big boy. Okay. If you don't give time and score after every basket, I don't know you.
Okay.
I was like, Marty, that's so intense.
I'm picturing you in the laboratory right now, coming up with catchphrases. Ooh, with things that are going to make your broadcast unique. You know, Eric Reed sort of got the patent on kaboom, and I'm wondering what we can expect from Jax in terms of just little pet phrases or catchphrases.
Right.
What do you think?
So, first of all, you've told on yourself, because Chris, obviously, your father does not stay up through the highlights.
Yeah.
At the end of post-game shows.
Oh, yeah, because he's already got a bunch.
Yeah. I already have about a ton. Greg, I have this list that I compiled about 10 years ago of a bunch of three-point calls so that when I go through highlights, I'm not saying the same thing over and over. I probably haven't said a dozen of them because in a highlight, you know, on a good night, there's probably about, you know, five or six threes in a highlight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the threes will be the place where I actually am completely ridiculous. And the other thing is, I actually probably should go to HR and sign a waiver because I'm super handsy. And so, like, when something goes down, I'm going to be all over the place. We've even talked about already putting a GoPro in front of Ruth and I or Ron and I so that the content people can just clip it off me being a complete, absolute North American black moose. I'm gonna have something for BAM. So I use hot BAM instead of hot damn.
Yeah.
I hot BAM is my move. I want another one.
Absolutely.
Like Oh No out of Bio or something. Or the other thing I'm thinking about doing, this is a little old school. What was that old little digicard? Chris, this might be too young for this, where you can just push the button and the sound effects pops up.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
It's so old school. Boing. Yeah. So I'm thinking about locking one of those into it. I just got, it's that little line of being too cheesy and having a lot of fun. But I remember the old Jack show when I was at 560. Whenever I would get a little out of hand, I'd hit the drop for I'm in love with a stripper. And so, you know, just fun stuff like that. That all the stuff that my wife hates, all the stuff that Sherelle hates will be on the show. Yeah,
I can't wait to see how daring you get with revolutionizing play-by-play. That's going to be interesting to listen to.
What do we think about a little Bam and Eggs, maybe? A little scrambled Bam and Eggs?
Oh, my God. Submit whatever you have, sir.
I'll send you an email.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jack, we want to transition to, you have the Jack's Fam Foundation, which produces the Jack Celebrity Roast, and of course your special guest coming up in October is our own pal Dan Levitard is going to be roasted, put on a spit and roasted.
Yeah,
and tell us how that came about.
Well, this is the fourth volume four, as we call it. About what was it, 2016? I decided, man, I am hosting everyone's philanthropic event in town, and while they're all great stuff, and I still do those things. There's some things that are important to me, and a lot of that stuff super, super micro. That's one of the things about Jack's Fam Foundation, and we thank the great Shane Battier for giving us vision here. Touch the people. And we use our philanthropic space, our foundation space. We don't do anything for anyone we don't meet or touch, and that's not the handsy part that Ruth and Ron are going to have to deal with. That's just, we want to be able to see who we're impacting and what we're impacting. We don't have paperwork and red tape and all that stuff, man. We see problems and we try to fix. And so the roast was really our marketing arm. It was like, we do all this really cool, tiny stuff, but how are we going to tell people what we do or how to get them to be involved in the donation aspect? Unless we have, this is Miami,
right?
Unless we have a party. Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, no dinner, right? No golf tournament, no gala. All right. And I am such, first of all, I love stand-up comedy. I mean, like, love it. And I love the Rat Pack. And so the old Dean Martin Celebrity Roast is what this is.
Nice.
Those cats, Chris, you don't know this stuff, man. In the 70s on network television, Greg, I think they were on NBC, if I'm not mistaken. These smoking and drinking on national television, I mean, they wouldn't cuss. But I mean, there was no mistaking what the innuendo was.
Oh, my God.
And it was fantastic.
Right.
And so I was like, man, this is so out of vogue. And I know what they do over in Comedy Central. But just the idea of getting dressed up and going out and going to a roast is something that was like 40 years in the darkness. And I was like, listen, don't work harder, work smarter, baby. Let's not reinvent the wheel. And so it was Irie first, and then Jason Taylor, and then Dwayne Wade. And then I said, okay, now we need to move backward, okay?
And it begins.
We've gone too hard in Miami greatness. But to Dan's credit, let's do this, though. I've known Dan since 1994 when I came here from Bowling Green. He was trying to claw all over your father.
He was.
Just trying to climb all over your dad and Edwin Pope and be the star of the paper.
Yeah, and he did, by the way. And he did. He wasn't trying. He was doing it.
And I will tell you, my first reaction to Dan Levitard was, what a dickhead. Like, that was my first reaction. Like, I didn't know him. I had just read the article he had written breaking the pay-for-play stuff. And I so loved my university when I found out that he was a UM grad that did that to UM, as I looked at it then, that did that to UM, did it to themselves, right?
But he took down the program. No, you can say it. We make fun of him all the time on the show.
He crippled the program with his typewriter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what a jackass. And then I met him. I was like, man, that's actually a cool dude. He doesn't know this. When I left here, I read his Sunday column every bleeping Sunday. And then when I got back, it was just magical. When I got back in 2004, he had reached such a skill set. And Cody, you take credit for this. I know you were instrumental in his growth. The way that he would present something so ridiculous as sport, as this wonderful platform for discussion, it was poetic. It really was. He made me think about things that I had already thought about in deeper, more insightful ways. And I'll always respect. Now, he doesn't call me now. He doesn't invite me nowhere. I didn't get invited to the wedding. You know, all that stuff. I'll get over all that because I'm going to beat his ass to death on October 10th at Hard Rock. And the cool thing is, he finally called and gave us, by the way, Cody, you got to get this man like an assistant or secretary or something. He is the worst person to coordinate with in the history of Jack's Liberty Road.
So socially awkward.
Dwayne Wade is 2 years from the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right? Our boy, who am I thinking of? Jason Taylor is in the Hall of Fame. And Irie's a world-renowned DJ. Mm-hmm. Easiest people to get their roasters, how many people at the table, do you need an extra table? We've been talking to him since July. I hear he's like auctioning you all seats right now to be in the house. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. But we are going, it's going to be fantastic. He finally decided, was the point I was making, he finally decided what the main benefactor is going to be. And it's going to be McGill's endowment.
Yeah, that's the project.
Yeah, we're going to be able to impact wildlife around the world. So that is unique. I do not like animals like that. But I love Ron McGill. So it's awesome. That dude put one of those albino pythons around my neck one day.
That damn yellow one, right? He brings that thing around to everyone.
I'm like, man, I did not have a puppy, okay? Yeah, I got no time for this snake around my neck. We're going to have a blast. I hope you guys are both going to be – I hope you both make the cut.
I'm excited. We're going.
Between the three of us and thousands of listeners, your boy bought a second tape. So there's
nice.
More than enough room.
Nice.
So if he's on this whole thing about, oh, I just got 10 seats and I can't – he's lying. He's got 20 seats.
The funny thing is we got a text yesterday, like, you guys, you're in. So, like, I think we're in. So we'll see you there. I'm excited.
Got you.
I believe I've made the cut. So can you tease us on how it's going to work? Like you're roasting him and who else? Like how does
No, I don't. That's the beautiful thing. While I am the namesake for the host, I'm super congenial. It's the same approach I took in Sports Talk, which is why I had to leave Sports Talk, is that I always treat people well.
How dare you?
I'm literally a host. But man, we hire two comedians, South Florida's own Gene Harding, and then the guy we call the assassin. Oh my Lord. Chris Spencer comes in and treats people like it's hideous.
That's awesome.
And he's back for the fourth straight year.
Nice.
And then fresh off the presses, Dan has finally named his second roaster. He gets two. He named Ron McGill a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And we haven't even announced this as a foundation, so you guys are getting this first. Billy Corbin is going to be his second roaster.
Nice.
And I hear David Sampson's trying to weasel his way in. He could just buy a ticket. But apparently Sampson's going to be a part of the act. So
okay.
It's going to be a thing.
I believe Dan, in his figuring out who his roasters would be, asked my dad if he was interested. And my dad, you chickened out, right? You're like, I just want to get drunk.
Right. No, that's wise. That's not chickening out.
Yeah, I didn't put it that indelicately, but I would rather enjoy myself at the table than have to perform. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I drink the whole night. Like I get in there and I get and that those nights. And Greg, you'll have to teach Christopher this later. At about 40, vodka starts tasting like water.
It's a dangerous thing. Yeah.
Okay. And so I've moved to tequila.
Nice.
In these moments because I'm really a bourbon drinker.
Uh-oh.
All right, but it's too hot. It's too hot for all that right now. Even in October, for bourbon, I think about another log on the fire, let's tell the story of yesterday, of right. yore. tell the tales of yore. You know, and so it's really hard. Like I've last 2 years without traveling with the heat. Like I'm forcing bourbon down my throat because I use the cold weather cities to have that real true bourbon experience. But man, I'm gonna tell you both this summer I've worn tequila out. Try to find some Casamigos around here. Good luck. I drank it all.
We want to get you out of here. You've been great with your time. I want to hit a few things though on the way out. You mentioned being a great host, and so we can't not mention me. You know, I've been to one of your karaoke parties. Now, I can't say I was invited. I just kind of glommed onto Roy Bellamy and Amin El Hassan. But I'm
so glad you were there.
You're just so nice, so welcoming. And I had a great time. I just thank you, first of all, for allowing me to be there. And second of all, let's say you're a judge of karaoke. Like, what the perfect karaoke performance is what to Jason Jackson?
First of all, thank you for coming. Secondly, I had to create these parties because I can't walk into Sweet Caroline
right.
and actually believe my health is okay. Like, it's too dense.
Yes.
Kids don't carry. Nobody has a mask on. Yeah. I mean, I'm vaccinated, but still, right. you can get this up. And,
oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, I caught it after a year. I'm not going to get into how or why because it is sensitive. But that's an off-air story, I'll tell you guys. But I never want to go through it again, obviously, vaccinated or not. And so my other spot is Ball and Chain. And there's some blood feud between ownership and some city commissioner, some old stupid South Miami stuff that has not allowed for that place to open yet. So I said, bleep it, call a couple of these DJs and have them on the roof so we can social distance, have a good time. Again, 4 crates of Casamigos, let's have a great time, right? So it's important to note that Amin El Hassan embodies the excellence of karaoke because he cannot sing.
Yes.
But he can perform.
Yes.
So the essence of a perfect karaoke performance doesn't have anything to do with you carrying a tune. Do you know the lyrics?
Yeah.
Do you play to the crowd? And will you let it rip? And if you get that, you're solid. Because one of my favorite performances ever was at Ball and Chain before the world came crashing to a halt. Roy Bellamy.
Thank you. I knew.
Went up there.
Yes.
Stood in the center of the stage, didn't move one muscle except for his larynx and his jaws, and knocked down some Lou Rawls. Holy hell. He came up that stage. I think I beat him up, but enjoy. Like, just, I'm like high-fiving him and hugging him. And and like, I'm trying to get him to get it going again on the roof that night. And he hit me like a superstar. He's like, Jax, relax. I'll get there.
Jax, I got it. I got to tell you, Bellamy favored us with about 30 seconds of Barry White on my podcast a few months ago, and it was just charming.
So good.
It was delightful.
So good. In key, entirely his space, but it almost looks like he's about to have a seizure, like, because he's just so, like, locked in, and he's focused, and he's little tense.
Not moving a step. Not moving a step is the best part. Like, he just is planted right there. The elbows out.
Like, some people got like a little two-step and do their thing. Like, when my crew, we all do Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe, we get nuts.
Yeah.
It's like straight late 80s, early 90s R&B. We're jumping around, you know, just all the group dancing, everything. Roy.
Right.
You'll never find boom, 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 boom.
Right, exactly.
The best. The best.
Jax, we're gonna let you know go right now. Christopher's gonna roll his eyes because I'm gonna leave you with a request to tee us up for Heat season. Heat fans are listening, and I'm wondering this newly minted triumvirate of Bam, Jimmy, and Kyle Lowry, is that a big enough big three to hang with the Brooklyns and the Milwaukees?
I think if the team fully commits, here comes the Spoism, to what their identity should be, which is go outside, spray all the dirt with water, bring it inside, and throw it on the court. All right? So it should just be a muddy mess of defensive.
They should do that one game just to send a message to the league.
Just
like, literally
just
do
what
that.
We're doing. You know, I think that's a really high fine, Chris. Stay out of other people's money. Okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. But it should be a defensive team unlike we've seen for a while. And that's also guys coming off the bench, right? That's Dedmon. That's Morris. That's a bunch of other guys that are just kind of just programmed that way. But that's what I'm looking forward to. It's you know, this team's going to be able to score. I'm not worried about that. But what we've heard from Jimmy over these first couple of years about, you know, and he hits you with some Texas, right? He doesn't say defend. He doesn't talk about schemes. He simply looks and says, guard somebody. It's just super simple.
Yeah.
And so he's got a complete group of people who are committed to that and who have a veteran savvy and then a bunch of guys that know their roles. And so I'm excited about it. And here's one of those tough moments again where you've cheered against someone for so long.
Yeah.
And Lowry, by the way, has put it on us a couple times, particularly in that game 7 of the Eastern mm-hmm. Conference semifinal. We're about to go put it on LeBron, let him know you left too soon, son.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that fourth quarter of game 7, Lowry just, oh my God, just lost his mind. Mm-hmm. And we had to watch the conference finals from a mile away, right? So I'm looking forward to having that on our side. But there's also something that happens to every player, goes away to Team USA and comes back with a gold medal. I'm looking for another layer from Bam.
That's good.
I think there's going to be, and by the way, like another layer and he's all world, right? Like, so he's already an all-star. He's already leaning toward all NBA. If he's got another thing there, man, this is everything Pat said. Here's the thing. Remember back to his press conference when he was drafted, Pat was like, we're going to put 13 in the rafters.
Yep.
I'm like, Pat, he is 19 years old. How in the world do we know that?
Yeah.
That's why he's Pat Riley, and I'm the dude with the makeup on the radio.
What is the most contentious interview you ever had on the sideline? And I know you do the home team a lot and, like, after wins, right. So, like, you probably don't have a lot of these. Maybe most memorable, like, what do you
got? You don't have to classify it at all. Big three, Chicago sneaks one in. Joakim Noah on our court does like a cartwheel. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Did like a cartwheel after a game. And this is back when we interviewed both teams. And I'll tell you why. This was the beginning of us not interviewing both teams anymore. And so I get Noah. I'd ask for anybody but him, right? And the Bulls PR staff gives me Noah. And he's on my microphone talking about how great it is. It's always great to beat Miami.
Oh.
We're going to beat Miami. And guess who's in his office watching, already pissed? Is Nick Harrison.
Oh my.
So we get this call, me and Ted Ballard, and I come up to Nick's office and he wants to know why we even do it. I'm like, Nick, we've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
Right? It's just you saw it that night and Joakim pissed you off and we get it. And so he was like, well, pick your spots. That's kind of what it was at that point. It's like, don't do it all the time. So fast forward to like 3 years, no other incident, like 3 years. I can't remember where Paul was at this point, but Paul Pierce, no longer Celtic, maybe in Washington, had a night again on our floor. And just Heat Nation got in Twitter and let me have it. Again, we had been doing it for like 12 years, 15 years. And all of a sudden, Heat Nation sensitive during those days, like, we don't want to hear bleep from anybody other than Chris, Dwayne, and LeBron. Other than that, get off our television.
Right. A few weeks ago on the Levitard show, we had a former SportsCenter anchor say that he once stole your TV from your cubicle.
No, you didn't. You had Dan Patrick on, okay? All right, don't say a former. That's some bullshit, Chris. And I don't even cuss like that in, you know, on these mediums.
Did that happen? Is that a true story?
Yes, it happened. Yes. Yes. I sat outside Dan's office like I was his do-boy. See, that's how ESPN does you. They create this kind of us versus them, and then inside the us versus them is the have and the have-nots, right? So when I first got there, like, the office space looked like we worked at a 1980s insurance agency. This is a worldwide leader in sports, and we got these cubicles. We got these Chris Berman, Bob Lee, Charlie Steiner, Robin Roberts, and they got cubicles like they are taking claims calls. Like, it's terrible. It's terrible.
It doesn't look that different now. I worked there a couple years ago. It doesn't look that different now.
So we finally moved to this new space when they built the ESPN News Studio back in 96. And we're in this space. And so they took all those people that I'm advocating for and gave them these beautiful offices with windows all around the room and based it on seniority. There was like, I don't know, maybe 15 offices. And so 1 through 15 in seniority got the offices. And then 16 through everybody else I think at the time I was 23 on the list. We were in these cubicles taking, you know, pizza delivery orders. Okay.
There's an actual list. There's an actual hierarchy, like an actual list.
How you pick your vacation back in the day was based on your seniority.
Wow.
Because there were blackout dates.
Yeah.
And so literally you would walk into this office, there would be an old calendar, and you look down, it'd be like, there's all Bob Lee's vacation, there's all Steiner's vacation, there's Ravi's vacation. And then you pick your days. I remember my first year, I like was like had like 4 days in March and then three more days in September. Like, it was ridiculous. So anyway, I sat right outside Dan's office, and I had a brand new, you know, there were brand new offices. I had a brand new little television. It was nothing crazy. Maybe it was like, you know, 20 inches maybe. But he had this old thing that you had to like crank on the side like a Model T in his office. Took it out, put it on my desk, took my television, and I'm losing. I'm flipping out, right? And he comes out of his office like, oh my, what's happening? We should probably find your monitor. Let's look around for it.
He's like helping you. He's concerned. He's like, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
He didn't tell me about it until like, I think maybe like 5 years ago. I was on the show as a guest, and he wanted to cleanse his soul. Okay. You know, he's an old altar boy. Oh, so, man. You know, he's constantly in full guilt. And so this one had gotten on him for a while. He's like, Jackson, it was me. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, no context. Jackson, it was me. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, the TV thing. Remember the TV? You thought your monitor got stolen?
The thing I helped you look for? Me. Yeah, that was me.
I just hung up. In the middle of the interview, I just hung up.
So you have not absolved him of guilt?
Never. Never.
On that note, Jason Jackson, the new radio play-by-play man for the Miami Heat. Looking forward to that. And before that, we look forward to next month's roast of Dan Le Batard. That's going to be a ball.
Yeah, it's actually jackslibertyroast.com.
Okay.
The event has its own site. We had to pull it out of the site for the foundation to make it its own universe because it's so nasty.
Nice. Look forward to it. We'll see you then. And thanks.
Can't wait.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay Jax.
Absolutely, boys. Be well.
Thanks. All right, Jason, that was a lot of fun. Thank you very much for joining us. Follow his foundation at Jax. That's J-A-X. What is it? Jax Foundation?
That's jackcelebrityroast.com.
Jackcelebrityroast.com. Excellently done,
Jax. Jackcelebrityroast.com. Thank you very much. Now, before we let you go, I want to give you the address one more time to get a Greg Cody Show decal if you haven't yet, because we still have a couple of hundred to give away. Write a self-addressed stamped envelope to Greg Cody, care of The Le Batard Show, The Clevelander, 1020 Ocean Drive, Miami Beach, Florida, 33139. And we'll get you a couple of decals. Thank you, as always, Pod family. Had a great time today. Hope you did, too. See you all next week.
And if you still haven't gotten yours yet, I had a bunch in my backpack for about 2 weeks. So you should probably, you know, my dad just got those. And so if you're waiting on one, it's coming.
There you go. And it's on Christopher, not me.